All right. Hey,
Hey,
Greg. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. What are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm ready to get my nightcap on. How about you?
Yeah, well, I'm feeling like it because, of course, it's the semisesquincentennial. I can't even say it. I must have already had a drink. The semisesquicentennial of the end of Prohibition.
Well, that's right. It's 75 years ago today that Prohibition was repealed. And so, before we go any further, I should warn you, I might have to drop this little phone call here at any moment and run off. I'll explain that in a moment. Hopefully that won't happen. But if it does, I just wanted to alert you.
So there's like some drama and suspense built into this.
There's some drama, but we'll get to that in a moment. I think our first priority should be mixing an old-fashioned cocktail.
Well, I think that's a dandy idea, you know, because, of course, it's one of the, well, most old-style cocktails that there is, what better to celebrate such a milestone as this. But, you know, I did have a little bit of a problem here that I have to admit to. You know, I tried to get the ingredients together for an old-fashioned, but, you know, I live out here in Montana now. And, it was a little bit of a challenge. So think of this as kind of like a new old-fashioned.
Oh, well, you mix it your way, I'll mix it my way. What I want to know is what possible ingredient could you have had difficulty with?
Well, let's see. I was able to procure some bourbon. You can hear me kind of crackling the bag as I pull it out. I needed a freshie, as they say, because the bottle that I had been drinking on as recently as last night had somehow sprained a leak or something and was empty. So I do have the bourbon. I'm that far along.
Okay, that's great. Who wants to take the lead here? You're our designated bartender, but of course.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I really trust you to be able to guide us through the process here. Do you want to take?
Well, maybe since it sounds like you're a little more well prepared, so why don't you just lead us through this, and I will, kind of let you know when I have to use substitution.
All right, that sounds great. You know, one of the ironies of our little ongoing project, has been that we never really took the art of mixing cocktails very seriously, and yet.
Oh no, I take it very seriously.
Now you
do it all the time.
Now you do, but once upon a time we didn't, and yet, as G. Wolfe said, time has it's a property of time to conserve truth. In other words, time turns our little prevarications into truth.
Wow.
We started off.
I feel like I should drink to that.
Yeah, you should. So what I'm doing is I'm taking a teaspoon of powdered sugar, not powdered sugar, superfine sugar, which, by the way, I've been unable to find in any marketplace around here. So I've made my own superfine sugar. You just take regular granulated sugar and blend it up in a blender, and it turns into superfine sugar. So I'm taking a teaspoon of that. I'm adding a teaspoon of water just into my glass here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm taking some Angostura bitters, just a dash or two.
Uh-huh.
Are you with me so far?
I'm following your process. I don't have any of that stuff, so if you want to know what I'm going to work on here, I'll just let you know.
No, I want to know how you're making an old-fashioned cocktail without
it. So I've been trying to diet, is part of the thing. So, you know, superfine sugar, you know, I'm trying to avoid refined sugars of any type. So I thought I'd try to use some kind of sugar substitute, but I didn't have, like, any packets of Equal or anything like that. So what I thought I'd try was, I'll open it. Did you hear that? Yeah, I'm going to use a little bit of Diet Coke for the sweetness factor, so I'll just kind of put a little dash of that in there, and then because I couldn't get a hold of any bitters, you know, strangely enough, well, see, the grocery store near my house this is kind of a long story, but the grocery store near my house is moving. It reopens next week, and so the shelves are practically bare, and they didn't have bitters. So instead, I figured, you know, bitters is kind of like just the stand-in disgusting flavor of bartenders. So I thought I'd use the second most disgusting flavor, which is some Pernod. So I'm going to add like a dash of that to my Diet Coke. So I think we're both caught up in terms of, you know, the sweet and bitter aspects here. Now, maybe you may have an idea for moving on from here.
I do. For one thing, I think it's incumbent upon me to note this is exactly what I meant when I said that you don't take this bartending. I just can't trust you as a bartender. But,
well, you know, I try to work on my feet, you know.
You may hear that rattling sound is actually me muddling the sugar and the water and the bitters. And also, I just put a tad bit of bourbon in there. Now, you're probably wondering what kind of bourbon. I don't have any rye whiskey, so it's bourbon. I've got some Buffalo Trace.
Ooh, that's good stuff.
That a friend gave to me. So
yeah,
I'm muddling away here, and I'm making some good progress on that. And
you know, this bitters, or rather this Pernod and Diet Coke, it's kind of green. It's a weird color.
That's
disgusting. Here, I'm going to taste just that part.
Probably the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
Whoa. It's actually... No, it's gross. Never mind.
Yeah. So anyway, now I'm finishing the cocktail by just adding a whole bunch more bourbon.
Oh, okay.
Some people say you should add it slowly, but, you know, I'm talking on the phone here, so that's a little difficult.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. I added a bunch of bourbon to mine. So in that respect, we have kind of a convening of minds, as it were.
Now, some people like to add a little fruit. Some people add ice, but I don't cotton to that.
I'm actually adding some fruit.
Cool. What kind of fruit?
I'm peeling a banana right now, and I was going to just kind of smash it down in there.
Okay, now you're just shitting me.
No, I'm not. Let's see if I can kind of here. I'll try to get the microphone close so you can hear me. I'll squish it between my hands first. We'll see. Did you hear those plopping noises?
Oh boy, did I ever!
Did you hear anything? Yeah.
Oh yes. It's
unfortunately now in my
you're
efforts
on the
to
toilet, aren't you?
No, well, you know, I thought about it, but, you know, it's just not the right moment. Now I have my phone in one hand and this crushed banana all over my other hand, and I can't pick up my drink.
I thought
so
you had a hand.
I'm going to have to go into the bathroom. And,
you had a hands-free
headset. Oh, no, my mother-in-law's in the bathroom. What's that?
I thought you had a hands-free headset.
Oh, I lost it. I was looking for it earlier, but it's gone.
I'm glad to see you're so very well prepared for this. You know, it is a travesty, I think, that these days you just can't get a good old-fashioned cocktail in a bar. In fact, I was reading Malt Advocate magazine a couple of months ago, and the guy said the main thing in terms of going to a bar and ordering an old-fashioned, make sure that you have a length of one-inch pipe so that you can break the bartender's wrist if he reaches for the club soda.
Ooh, wow. Well,
anyway,
that would be
I have
rather...
mixed my drink. And so I'm raising a toast to you, Jay, out there in Missoula, Montana, to your health.
And to you as well, the old-fashioned or, in my case, the new old-fashioned.
Indeed. So,
how's yours?
Mine is fantastic. I've got to tell you, when people come over to the house, this is one of the drinks that they request most often. In
really?
Old fashioned. And I think it's because
I don't think anybody's going to request that when they come over to my house.
Not if you mix it that way.
Oh, God.
Well, there's so many things to discuss. As you noted, it's 75 years to the day from the repeal of Prohibition, which is awesome.
It's a great moment, really, for America.
Of course, I'm here in New Orleans. And 75 years and 2 days ago is when Pat O'Brien, the famous bar in New Orleans, opened its doors officially.
Wow, so they actually jumped the gun.
Yeah, and I just think that that's a little hilarious footnote. Really, I think that we ought to take note of the fact that we are recording here our first audio-only program. You and I have had a history together of producing all these TV shows, and what in God's name are we doing recording an audio program with no video at all?
Well, you know, I have to admit, I have no clue. I've never really listened to any podcasts, which is a great irony. But then again, you know, when we started making a television show back in, 1992?
Right, you had never actually seen any television because your parents raised you in a box.
Right. In a box in the back of a barn. Well, actually, I had seen television at least, but I had never. I didn't have television at the time. We had to go to a bar to watch.
You've never listened to a podcast, but I would wager that you have listened to audio, and all a podcast is, after all, is audio distributed a certain way over the internet.
Right. Exactly.
But the point is,
so we're just like casting our pods everywhere. Now.
Yeah, but there's a reason for this. And the reason has to allude actually to what I was referring to earlier when I said I might have to run at a moment's notice.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fact that you and I both have suffered through a life-changing event, and that we are both now parents, fathers, in fact.
Exactly.
We both have young children, young infant children, you might say, in the house, although your boy's a little older than our girl, so I don't know if he's still...
Yeah, my boy can kick your girl's ass. He's 19 months old now.
I have to come like 2,000 miles to do it. She's 9 months old, 9 months. So still very much an infant. And here's the thing. She has, last night, she started throwing up like at midnight, at 1 a.m., at 2 a.m., and then she stopped. But it was pretty alarming because we're used to her spitting up or whatever. But this was like vomit, you know? And so that was, well, what the fuck is going on, you know? Is she sick? Is she but no fever, didn't seem sick, you know? So then she stopped and it seemed to subside. Her stomach seemed to settle down and we made it through the night. And then at 6:30 or so when she woke up, she vomited again. I said, what the hell? But she was bright-eyed and happy and playful and just her normal self. No fever, nothing. I think she just had some food that didn't agree with her. We fed her chicken noodle for the first time last night. It was a somewhat sketchy little jar of baby food that, when I say sketchy, it was just because it was given to us by... you know, a friend whose daughter's outgrown that age of food. And, I checked the expiration date before feeding it to her. But and it's not until May of next year, so I don't think that's the issue. But, you know, she'd never had that particular kind of food before, so maybe it just didn't agree with her. Maybe, who knows? So she seemed fine. So I took her to daycare, and she... I said, keep a special eye on her, but she was fine all day long, no problems. Got her back home. She seemed fine. I was actually holding her in the front room of our house where my little studio office is, and all of a sudden, boom, big projectile vomit everywhere. And I mean,
nice.
Really? Yes, yeah, grotesque. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So we cleaned that all up, and she seemed fine and happy and everything. And well, I think we had one more gigantic projectile vomit this evening. And I was really starting to get worried, but again, no fever. And then it dawned on me, you know, she hasn't even been vomiting for 24 hours, right? It hasn't even been 24 hours yet.
Right.
So probably not a big deal. Something to be concerned about, keep your eye on and so forth, but probably could be a little stomach bug, could come and go. You know, it could just be one of those 24-hour things. It could be a little food poisoning if there was something that she ate that wasn't didn't agree with her. That probably runs course in 24 hours. So anyway, our lives have changed forever, and that is just
because those 24 hours, of course, begin to feel like, you know, an eternity, and you begin to think that you know, there's some kind of major catastrophe going on. You know, earlier tonight I was I had Julian, who's my son, we were out at a restaurant and we were just kind of playing around because he would not sit down and eat dinner with us, and at one point I stuck out my tongue at him and he stuck out his tongue, and there's this spot on the side of his tongue, it's actually about half of his tongue, looks almost like it had been burned or something at one point, because it's got a kind of, you know, margin around it, and it's a different texture on one side than the other. I think there's definitely something kind of bizarre about his tongue.
What is it?
But, you know,
he's always been there.
It's been there. I wouldn't say necessarily always, but we noticed it a long time ago. It used to be really red, and now it's not. So, you know, I have no idea what's going on. You know, we've talked to doctors about it. It doesn't seem to be something that anybody's terribly concerned about. But you know, as soon as you see that, this thing on his tongue that doesn't seem to cause him any real discomfort, you know, he certainly seems to have a taste for a broad range of foods, et cetera. You know, he eats, he has a healthy appetite, all of that. I look at it, and my immediate thought is, oh, my God, what is wrong with his tongue? You know, it feels like it's this huge thing that I should be worried about, because, of course, I'm a dad, and, you know, if I'm not going to worry about it, well, he doesn't know yet to worry about it. Because, right. You know, like you say, you know, when he pukes, it usually makes him feel better. When I puke, it puts me in a foul mood for days. But puking to him, yeah, he hasn't puked much recently, but, you know, those health issues are, you know, they're, if we're not going to worry about them, they're not gonna. And so, this is the new sort of paradigm of life. Back when we used to make the, early episodes of this TV show, I didn't give a shit about anybody else but me.
Yes, well, that was obvious to all of us, Jack. No, I'm just kidding. That is exactly why we're doing this podcast, this audio program, this conversation, which is just raw and unedited, because it sets the bar a little bit lower. It's just a little bit easier to pull off from a technical standpoint. Mm-hmm. And goddamn, you know, making a TV show, a finely edited 30-minute television program, that's a lot of work and very time-consuming.
Oh, yeah.
And as you will recall, we were in our Rocks production schedule. Our next episode that we had set up for ourselves was Life and Death on the Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Right, about the death of my friend Helen Hill here in New Orleans, the death of your father, but also the birth of these children. Well, you know, pretty momentous stuff.
Yeah, and
we have some good video in the can for that. But
it exists.
Yes, it does. But I ran into some technical issues, like three different technical problems that just kind of took the wind out of my sails. And what with being a new father and all that stuff and trying to juggle, that this was just not happening. It was just falling by the wayside, the production of the next episode of the video program. So I thought, you know what, this can't go on forever, and maybe someday I'll get that television show done. But in the meantime, why not call up Jay on the phone, talk to him?
Exactly. I mean, what better day, too, than the semi-sesquicentennial of the end of Prohibition to lower your moral and intellectual standards?
And I'm sure that you have thought, as I know I have, what a shame it is that America, as a nation, we have seen the folly of trying to prohibit alcohol. But we haven't seen the folly of prohibiting other drugs. You know, it's just a simple matter of you weigh the harms to society versus the benefits of any particular policy, and you do whatever is going to do the least harm. And it's so abundantly obvious to me that there would be less harm to society if drugs were just legalized out there in the open. Not to say the drugs don't have harmful characteristics, some of them, but their use should not be prosecuted. So, just a little soapbox moment.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, it's interesting that you say that because there was a story that ran in the Missoulian newspaper, which I now work for, not that this program is in any way endorsed by blah, 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 blah. But just this week, actually, there was a story that that we kind of broke, I think, on the national scene about the oldest pot stash ever unearthed being found in central China.
The Missoulian broke that?
Yeah. The professor, or the the pharmacologist, or actually neurologist. I think he's both anyway. This guy, Ethan Russo, was one of the lead people on this discovery and writing it up for some scientific magazine, and we wrote about it in the newspaper. Basically, this is a situation where some people in China stumbled across this. Say that again?
This guy's at the university there in Missoula? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he is I think he's like an adjunct or a faculty affiliate or something like that. Okay. So he isn't here all the time. But, he has enough of a relation that this was a semi-local story. And also, let's face it, the Missoulian benefits anytime we ever write any story about marijuana in terms of, if you go to the Missoulian website right now, this story has like twice as many hits on it as any other story in the Missoulian in the past week because,
you're pandering
marijuana. And let's face it, everybody wants to read about marijuana, even if they don't smoke it.
Nobody wants to smoke it. Everybody just wants to read about it.
Exactly.
But, Jay, this is fantastic.
So,
just before you called, I was watching, much to my chagrin, Jay Leno's monologue, and he made reference to this.
Oh, he talked about this.
Oh, yeah. So this
is... Well, see, there you go. Yeah, so it's already a meme out there. So even this little podcast that we're doing, that's so right up to the moment, we're still a little bit behind the times. But anyway, for people who don't know what happened, basically there were some people who lived in China. They were digging a well, apparently, an irrigation well, but they found a yard, and so some people started excavating. And what they found was... This shaman, or a chief, or someone of extremely high stature, according to this Russo guy, who had this grave, and inside the grave there was 2 pounds of marijuana. 2 pounds. Now, this was not. They analyzed this stuff, and they noted first that the pot had been picked clean of all the stems and stalks and that kind of stuff. And actually, even only they only had female plant parts in there. The male plant parts, of course, aren't as high in THC, which is what gets you high. And and in fact, they even found that there's like some rope and stuff in there, but it was, that stuff was made of wool and reeds, so it wasn't like it was, you know, this wasn't hemp marijuana is what I'm getting at. This was pot, get you high.
Right.
And there was a
active property.
What's that?
Cultivated
property. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And in remarkably good shape. In the article, it said the pot, quote, retained a surprisingly green color in its leafy parts. And apparently they could still see the glands of THC on the pot. You know, I imagine that it would probably be kind of rough to smoke it, but, you know, whatever. I'd give it a shot. The best part of the article, the part that I loved, was the Russo, this guy, said that they had tried to germinate some of the seeds that they found. Apparently there were some seeds in it, but they didn't have any luck. But there's this quote from him that, we've had plenty of people offer to help. And I thought that was awesome because, you know, actually my first thought when I started reading this was, can I have some?
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
So,
that
anyway.
Fantastic.
Exactly. I mean, it makes me proud to be a newspaper man to say that I work for the paper that brought this story to the world.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well,
and so anybody who is out there who likes newspapers or pot should read the Missoulian.
Definitely. And you're on the landline there?
No, I'm on a cell phone.
Well, God damn it, Jay. I said
why?
One of us needed to be on a landline, and I don't have a landline here in New Orleans. You see, I'm in our post-Katrina renovation, we after our house got flooded here in New Orleans, we never brought back our landline. So I'm strictly on a cell at home these days. But you have a landline there, don't you?
Well, yeah, yeah. The problem is that we've got this shitty phone attached to it that the battery runs out after like 5 minutes.
Oh well, I guess that would encourage us not to ramble, but we'll have to address that for a future episode because I do believe the audio quality will be enhanced if one of us is on a landline. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Well, you know, audio and video quality in the first days of the television product that we put out weren't exactly high.
We weren't exactly high. Right, right. Well, that's probably some kind of indication. You know, I've drained my drink dry.
Yeah, me too. I'm about to pour some more.
Yeah, and I might do that as well. But that's probably an indication that this little debut maybe is kind of winding down. Is there
exactly?
Is there are there any germane points that we have failed to address?
Well, not that I can think of, and you know, it's always important to leave something. Leave the listener clamoring
more.
For more next time,
rather than,
which of course, you know, we've surely done now.
Absolutely. Well,
by the way, though, this. I mean, one thing I should add, just because it's here and now, I wish I had a good enough way with words to describe the appearance of this smushed banana that I've now doused in bourbon. It's kind of...
imagine it looks like what my daughter was throwing up earlier.
It probably does. You know, actually, you know, it's a little coagulated and then sort of like bathed in this golden liquid glow that surrounds it, which is the bourbon. You know, so, yeah, it's kind of like snot.
That is fantastic. Well, on that note, I think we should bring an end to J&B's nightcap, the first one.
Exactly.
We'll be back.
And it's been fun, and hopefully we'll be back on the horn soon. And certainly if anybody wants to get on the phone with us or send us something to talk about on the phone, they should.
Yes. Well, thanks, Jay, and I'll talk to you later.
Take care.